We were in the first chapter of James last week. We're taking just three verses out of the second chapter today. You can find it on the screen, of course, or you can follow along as it's printed in the bulletin. You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Just a reminder, this is James. He's the brother of Jesus, and his congregation is in Jerusalem, and that's who he's talking to. Now, I need to apologize. I made the mistake of writing my sermon out. And usually, I know where I'm going, and I just kind of follow from thought to thought to thought. The problem when I write it out is I got every word just where I wanted it to be. So I'm going to read it. Okay? I got it the way I want it, and I'm going to read it because it's the way I want it. So I apologize for that. When you enter this space, not just on Sunday morning, but I think probably any time during the week, I think it's important for you to remember that God has something to say to you. God has a message for you. He's got a message for you as a group, Hope United Methodist Church, a group as Christians in Edwardsburg, Michigan, a group as Christians of this planet. God also has a message for you as an individual, specifically for you as a person. And I'm afraid that if you don't expect to hear it, or if you don't prepare yourself to hear it, that you'll miss it. So every time you enter this place, expect to experience God. Okay? Now, it may not have anything to do with what I'm saying or with what Pastor Nate is saying or whoever the speaker of the morning is. It might have to do with the conversation you have with somebody that you encounter when you're here. That message might come through that. You might experience God through one of the prayers. Maybe you'll experience God through the sharing of another person as they're making a prayer request or even during an announcement. It might come through the music. It might come to you as you're processing the words of the song through your head as you sing. But expect it. Part of preparing for worship is to expect that God is going to do something. And it's just for you. Okay? So that's kind of a preface to the whole thing. All right. This is part two of a message based on the letter of James, the brother of Jesus, to his congregation in Jerusalem. And in many ways, we're just listening in. This is something that somebody decided they were going to keep and share, and that's why we have it today. James is talking today in this passage about what he calls the royal law. Love the Lord your God in every way that you can imagine, and then care for others as you care for yourself and those you love. I think if we need to define love, and sometimes that just sounds so big, you know, is this love song love? Is this the way I love pizza? Is this the way I love my children? Is this the way I love Barb? What kind of love we're talking about? I want to use Paul's definition that he has in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, or sing the most beautiful song that I can imagine, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, I'm just a loud noise. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. All right, that's Paul's definition. A couple parables that I want to talk about today. I'll remind you about the parable of the sheep and the goats. I'm not going to read through that, but it's Matthew chapter 25. Okay, it's the second half of Matthew chapter 25, and so Jesus is telling a parable about the king coming at the end of times, and the king will come at the end of times, and the sheep will be on the left, the goats will be on the left, the sheep will be on the right. I suppose that depends on whether you're right-handed or left-handed. You could do it the other way around if you happen to be left-handed and you don't want to be a goat. So they're there, and the king turns first to those who the sheep and says, "Well done, as you have done it upon to the least of me, these you have done it unto me. You get your reward." And to the goats he says, "As you did not do unto the least, you did not do for me. You're out of here." And so that's the gist of the parable of the sheep and the goats. And so you see that connects very well with what James is trying to teach. How do we know that you have faith? How do we know that you've been faithful? How do we know that you love? You know, it's one thing to say, "Yes, God, I love you," but where's the fruit of that? If you didn't help the least, then you didn't help God. Okay? So that's what we've got. Now, I've got just a short video. I think it's about a one-minute video. So I want you to just take a look at this.
Imagine what it would look like.
If I focus more on other people.
If I spent more time with my family.
If I treated my wife with great love and respect.
If I mentored one child this year.
Imagine if I really followed the plan God is calling me to.
If I read more.
Prayed more. Listened.
Imagine.
Imagine.
Imagine what our communities could look like.
If we truly served one another.
If I took the time to really get to know my neighbors.
If I serve food to the poor every week.
If we all served.
What if we all used our skills to help the needy in our communities?
Imagine.
Imagine what our world would look like.
If I prayed for my brothers and sisters here
and halfway across the world.
If we all took missions seriously.
If we prayed for all the nations.
Imagine.
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 There, a thought that just came to me about the movie Evan Almighty. I don't know if you ever remember seeing that movie or not, but there's a scene in that movie where God takes Evan to, not really to a mountaintop, but to a high place, and shows him this beautiful valley that's laid out there before them. And so Evan is looking at this, and finally just says, this is beautiful. Where is this?" And God says to him, "This is where you live." And then shows him the way it looks with all of the housing developments, the highways, all of the things that have been done to that. And you get this sense of the way in which God imagined what this was going to look like and what a beautiful place it was. Not that there weren't beautiful homes, not that there weren't wonderful families, but it's not exactly the way God imagined it. And so as we think about that, as we think about the lesson today, and we think about our lives, our world, what do you think God imagined that it was going to be like? Now, this is one of those questions that we have pondered through the ages. Why isn't it just the way in which God imagined it? And the answer is love. God loves us enough to make choices. And the way in which we show our love for God is by making choices based on love. And when we don't make choices based on love, what we end up with is sin and evil. And so you hear about, you know, people saying, well, if God is so good, God is so loving, why is there evil in the world? Look in a mirror. That is the answer to that question. Why is there evil in the world? Because God loves us. And you can't love another person unless you can choose otherwise. Okay? That is just basic. And, you know, you hear this question and people say, well, why is there evil in the world? Look in a mirror. This is not the way God imagined it. And so the message of the video and, you know, my message for you today is to imagine what it was going to be like. What it could be like. What it should be like. And see what we can do to make a difference. I want to tell you the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, this is interesting to me this morning. You know, one of the first things I do after I get my coffee in the morning is I'll take a look online to see if I got an email from somebody, or now that includes taking a look at Facebook and see if somebody has something they wanted to share with me. I'm Facebook friends with a lot of you folks, and I get some prayer requests occasionally. And so I did that this morning. And there was a Facebook post about this passage from a friend of mine, the widow of a pastor that we served with early in our ministry. So I think there's a way in which that was a communication to me from God that reaffirmed that this passage is important today. Okay? I'm going to read part of this and tell part of it. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Don't shut out and think, I've heard this before. A teacher of the law came up and tried to trap Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to receive eternal life? Now remember, I just told you the parable of the sheep and the goats. What must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus answered him, what do the scriptures say? How do you interpret them? The man's a teacher of the law. The man answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Jesus said, you are right. Do this, and you will live. In other words, you knew the answer. Why did you ask? But the teacher of law wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? How should Jesus answer that question? He tells a story. There was a certain man, and he was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem is about a mile higher than Jericho is. Jericho is down in the Dead Sea, lowest point on earth. And so it's a 10-mile walk from Jerusalem to Jericho, which is down. So he's literally going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a rough territory, hilly, rocky, lots of places for bandits to hide. So as he was traveling down from Jerusalem to Jericho, he was overcome by thieves who robbed him, beat him, and left him half dead along the side of the road. Now it happened that a priest was passing by that way. We don't know if the priest was going to Jerusalem or from Jerusalem. The families in the priesthood took turns serving as priests at the temple in Jerusalem. And so he was either going or coming from his duties. He saw the man and passed by on the other side. Then it happens that a Levite came by. Now, a Levite, this is part of the leadership team. Okay? Look around the room. We've got some leadership team members here. This is a member of the leadership team. And as this member of the leadership team walked by, saw the man, passed by on the other side. And then it happens that a strange person, don't know how to quite define a Samaritan, that quite captures what the people were feeling when they heard that name. But think of somebody who's strange. Whatever that brings to your mind, a strange person came by, saw the man, went over, treated the man with the first aid supplies that he had with him or her. It's a strange person. I don't know whether it's a strange man or a strange woman. Bound up the man's wounds, and then put the man on his or her donkey and took them to an inn. Now, there aren't any inns on the road, so took them to the inn at the end of their journey, either in Jerusalem or in Jericho. Took them to an inn and said, "Hey, I have to travel on, take care of this person. Gives them some kind of wampum or something to pay for the way. If that's not enough, when I'm back this way, I'll repay you for whatever happens." Okay, so this is the story. And then Jesus said, "In your opinion, which one of these three acted like a neighbor?" The question is, who is my neighbor? "Which one of these three acted like a neighbor toward the man attacked by the robbers?" And the teacher of the law answered, "The one who was kind to him." And Jesus replied, "You go then and do the same." All right? Now the question is, why did the stranger cross the road? You heard that before? Why did the stranger cross the road? I've got lots of answers playing through my mind. Maybe you have them playing through your mind as well. Jesus asked, which one was kind to you? Which one was patient with you? Which one protected you? Which one trusted you? Which one hoped with you? Which one persevered with you? Which one never failed you? Okay, that's Paul's definition of what love is. Just using those words. And the teacher of the law answered Jesus, the only one who stopped to help. And Jesus said, you've answered your own question. Take the time to love, even if you are the only one who does. Okay? Now, if you think this is a story about being nice, then you've missed the point. This is a story about the transformation of the world. This is a story about how the world can become what God imagined the world could become. Jesus is literally saying, well, you know, there were three kinds of people on the road that day going from Jerusalem to Jericho. The first type were robbers, and their basic ethic to life was, whatever is yours is mine, and I've come to take it. Okay? That's the first type of people. These are people who are going to leave us physically, mentally, emotionally beaten and bruised along life's road with nothing left but just a shallow breath. The robbers take what they want through violence, through coercion, through lies, through whatever they need to do to get what they want. Okay? Second type of person. They're represented by the priest and the Levite, and their work ethic is, what is mine, and I have to protect it, even if it means that you get hurt in the process. Now, these aren't bad people. I'm probably falling into this category most of the time. And maybe you find yourselves in this category as well. I earned what I got, and I need to protect what I've got, and that's what I'm going to do. You know, this is, I think, where most of us are most of the time, if we're just really honest about who we are. We know what we need. We know what people need that we love the most, and we're willing to make sacrifices for those people and love them and care for them, but not so sure about the strange people. People that are strangers to us. Don't quite know what to do with those folks. And then there's the third type, the stranger. The stranger's ethic is love. And along one of the most dangerous roads in all of history, seems to have been living by a code that says, what is mine is yours, if you need it. My safety is yours, if you need it. My security is yours, if you need it. My resources are yours, if you need them. My health is tied to your health. My well-being is tied to your well-being. I read a sermon one time that Dr. Martin Luther King gave on this passage. And he said the real difference between the priest and the Levite from the stranger was this. They were thinking, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? And the stranger was thinking, if I don't stop to help this man, what will happen to him? They were afraid to stop and help. And I get that. I get that. Fear or faith? These are choices that we make when we're thinking about what we're going to do, about what kind of an ethic we're going to live by. Are we more faithful than we are fearful? I'm not talking about being stupid. I'm thinking about our motivation in life and what kind of an ethic we're following. Because fear has a way of making us all behave badly. And if we're working from an ethic of fear, we do things that aren't the way in which God imagined that they should be. So, you know, you don't have to look out your window for very long to know that we're all on a road somewhere between Jerusalem and Jericho and that it's dangerous out there. The heartbreak and exhaustion are real. And it's not just the virus. It's not just COVID. There are other viruses at work in the society that we're just as afraid of as others. It's everything. It's layers and layers of being beaten and bruised along a dry, hard road. Not just in this last 18 months, but throughout our lives. So my point is, we have some choices to make. We can make decisions with an ethic of fear. And for a time, choices based on fear have a way of making us feel safe, but that will pass. The other choice is to cross the road to help our neighbor. When we cross to the other side, we will get a glimpse of something Jesus talked an awful lot about, and we will see what transformation looks like. We'll finally understand who we are called to be, and best of all, we'll finally encounter the kingdom we've been longing for. It's the world that we want. It's the world that God imagined and still imagines that the world can be. So, I'll ask you again, why did the Samaritan cross the road? I've got some answers spinning around. Maybe you do too.